welcome to A North Point Counseling Perspective, a podcast that addresses the intricate tapestry of relational and mental health issues. Our podcasts are designed to provide insights from a counseling perspective that unravels the complexities of the heart and mind. So grab your headphones, settle in, and let's explore another episode of A North Point Counseling Perspective. In this episode, I would like to introduce a colleague and friend, Patrick Eilers. Patrick is a licensed professional counselor and a certified sexual addiction therapist. Not to embarrass Patrick, but I'd like to add that he is one of our outstanding CSAT therapists here at North Point. Welcome, Patrick.
Hey there. Welcome to the North Point Counseling Perspective Podcast. I'm your host, Patrick Eilers, and I'm one of the therapists on staff at North Point. Today, we're going to be discussing what is healthy versus unhealthy sex. This is a question that can be challenging to answer, but I hope that to help bring some clarity as we dive into the 12 dimensions of healthy sex that Dr. Patrick Carnes developed. Healthy versus unhealthy sex. So what is that? What does that look like for us? Healthy sex is relationally giving, or bringing two people together. Well, unhealthy sex many times is self-centered and self-seeking. Sex that's often unhealthy draws an individual into themselves, and they may isolate or attempt to escape relationships with others. Typically, the person who's unhealthy sees sex as a means to feel better, especially in the moment, and does not take into account for other people's experiences, their thoughts, or their feelings. Healthy sex focuses on the other person in the partnership and allows for intentional vulnerability and true intimacy, or a way for a person to be fully known physically, emotionally, intellectually, and spiritually. Although for many folks, this is a scary thought, it demonstrates how as a society, our thoughts about sex have really been altered. Sex is used to entice, excite, and engage people into products or experiences that are solely about themselves. Sex has become a way for people to live in a world of fantasy and focus on what could be possible and not on what is. Let's start with dimension number one, which is nurturing. This is a fundamental element of healthy sex, and it's simply one of the hardest experiences for some people to engage in their lives, to allow someone else to care and to also be cared for. No nurturing can be one-sided. We must allow ourselves to be vulnerable and say, I need help. Another way to think about nurturing is like a 5-gallon bucket. Everyone has a bucket that's filled with emotional energy, so to speak, and when that energy is used up, we become depleted. We cannot fill others' buckets up with no water in ours. Nurturing is about allowing our needs to be met, and at the same time, working on pouring into others and meeting their needs. Skills like intentional listening, reflection, and observation are all practical examples of nurturing someone. This begins to build a foundation of trust between two people. Sensuality. When you hear this word, you may think of sexy music or romantic candlelit dinners. However, in this context, we're talking about our five senses. Taste, touch, smell, hearing, and vision. When was the last time you stopped and examined the beauty of the world around you? Sensuality is all about being present. No relationship can exist without those who are not present. Think about a friend coming over to your house, you know, or meeting you for dinner, and all they did was scroll on their phone. This lack of engagement might leave you feeling very invalid and disregarded. This is imperative to slow down, to give ourselves rest, to check in with those who are closest to us. Our greatest weapon we have to fight in this is our devices, which are constantly calling for our attention. If you want to work on healthy sexuality, start by being more present with the beauty that's around you. Self-image is dimension number three. For those of you who enjoy photographs, I would like you to think of a Polaroid photograph. It takes an instant snapshot of the moment in time and prints it out immediately. This is a way to think about our self-image, or what do I allow or develop as an image for other people to see? Do I make attempts to show only what's favorable? Let's shout out to social media here, as many people have an online image and a private image. How accurate is this of the true person on the inside? A person whose self-image does not reflect themselves accurately will and does have a conflict internally. How can I truly be myself to someone when my Polaroid picture is different than what's on the inside of me? Or how can I develop trust with these when these two contradict each other? My personal image must be defined and accurate to all of me, both positive and negative. Self-definition. Unlike self-image, self-definition is what defines us in that others cannot see. These are the things that are both positive and negative traits. However, an individual needs to have a clear and concise understanding of oneself to understand those. Those who do not know these definitions are likely to behave in a way that is contradictory to who they want to be, or in a way that their self-image projects. Building trust with others is critically dependent on one's insight. You must know yourself, both the things that we like and accept, as well as those things we may reject and dislike. This is the beginning of establishing serenity. When all of our realities align, and what comes out of our mouths, what comes in its inner thoughts in our head, and what the morals are the same. It takes risk for one to do self-reflection, especially when it comes to the scary and uncomfortable experiences that we have in our life. We can't just ignore what we don't like. We must address it and confront it. Self-awareness can greatly influence our relationships as we have better clarity to our biases, our reactions, and our projections. This is about risking ourselves to be healthier. The topic of comfort is the fifth dimension, according to Dr. Carnes. I think of comfort concerning these topics that we don't like to talk about. In our society, there are many. Sex, race, gender, and politics are just to name a few. However, for some people, their experience when discussing sex has been minimal to none. This can start in a family of origin if one's family is particularly uncomfortable about openly discussing sexual matters in a healthy way. This can breed a culture of secrecy around sex, making it taboo or something that's considered dirty or inappropriate. This can enhance shame. As we know from research, a main component of sexuality and shame is that no one approaches the topic. It remains hidden and uncomfortable. A challenge to consider is to how comfortable you are with your partner in discussing sex. Can sex be an enhancing topic rather than something it divides? How have your family's views affected your thoughts about sex? These are some of the considerations when working toward more comfortable and open conversation regarding healthy sex. Also, it will remain uncomfortable if you do not practice this. This practice of approaching the uncomfortable in a relationship is key, as there are many times and difficult topics that will arise in a relationship. Ignoring, avoiding, or trying to be averse to these topics will continue to isolate yourself and your partner. Practically consider what topics you might be willing to start working on and being more open about. Dimension 6 is knowledge. It's all about the basics of sex, how sex works, and how the human body's interaction with sex. Practically, what do you know you don't know? So educate yourself. You're listening to this podcast and you're learning about healthy sex. But I encourage everyone to investigate what they don't know. Learn the arousal patterns of a human being. Relationally, this looks like asking questions, being reflective toward a partner, and in general, getting to learn his or her internal world. As a therapist, we have the privilege to experience the inner world of those we work with. However, you can also gain this skill. Being a great listener, slow to respond, and being present with your partner can teach you a lot about what you might not be aware of. Dimension 7 is relationships, and this dimension covers a vast variety of topics. I'll do my best to condense it. What do relationships in life look like? Are they shallow, acquaintance level, and in passing? Or do you have fulfilling relationships that are deep, nurturing, and growing? Today, we're experiencing relationships in many ways, both online and in person. However, are these relationships of quality or of quantity? This also covers the reality between men and women, asking whether I can be the opposite gender and still be friends. When it comes to sex addiction, many people who've never been friends with someone without also having been sexual. This dimension addresses this. The ability for a person to enjoy relationships in their life and taking the risk of being known. Earlier, I talked about vulnerability. This is learning to be vulnerable with people who are healthy supports. Partnership. This dimension is all about the maintenance of equal partnership within the intimate relationship. Unlike relationships where it's more about other people, this is more specifically about me and someone who I'm close to. How many people in our society today feel unequal with their partner? And even in that thinking about how to balance, even a balanced relationship seems like a fantasy. When we're bonded and attached, it promotes true intimacy. As I stated before, a way that we can be fully known all the ways that we who we are. This is typically a space that can be exercised within the five love languages. Acts of service, gifts, physical touch, quality time, and words of affirmation. You can learn more about these specifically from Dr. Gary Chapman in his book of the same title. And I do hope that we will address these in a future episode more deeply. Partnership asks of another, are you willing to take risks? Are you willing to be known by me? Will I be accepted if I'm open? These are some of the questions within a partnership. Let's be clear, we all face rejection in the search for a partner. And if we truly want to be in a partnership, we must accept this truth. Often I find that society is focused on being sexual rather than being vulnerable. This is backward of how intimacy is done and counterintuitive to finding a larger goal of finding a partner for life. For intimacy to be cultivated requires three parts. 1, courage. 2, honesty. And 3, integrity. Without all three of those, intimacy cannot exist. Courage is foundational to a person being open and saying, I blew it, I messed up, when we cause harm or do damage to someone else. And since none of us are perfect, we can all relate to those moments. Courage does not mean the absence of fear. As Carly Fiona says, courage is not the absence of fear. It's acting in spite of fear. All of us will face fear, but not everyone will behave and act courageously. Non-genital sex. This is dimension 9. According to Dr. Carnes, this is the most impactful of the dimensions and should be carefully considered when rebuilding or establishing intimacy between two people. Another way to think about this is to demonstrate care without the use of the genitals. Non-sexual touching, such as hand-holding, cuddling on the couch, and kissing are all examples of this dimension. Typically, foreplay or any sexual touching leading towards sex would also apply here. A couple's exercise called soul-gazing would be a practical application. This is where two people stare into each other's eyes for 3 to 5 minutes without talking. This establishes a deep connection as well, at the same time demonstrating vulnerability and being uncomfortable. The reason for this dimension being the most impactful is that it combines all parts of the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, where you experience the whole of your partner. Genital sex. Dimension 10 is genital sex, or the expressed care of one toward another with the use of the genitals. This is typically a dimension that first is affected by acting out behavior or creates divides in a partnership when there's disconnect between two people. This dimension is about relinquishing control and giving over to passion to the other person. It doesn't mean that we're abandoning ourselves, but it's opening the door for a person to allow a partner to take the wheel of a sexual experience. Not trying to control or manipulate an outcome, but surrendering to the needs of one another. For a couple to be unified in this, they must have an understanding of themselves as well as the other, or in this way, they lean in or give themselves over to their partner's needs and desires. This is not a one-sided approach, but rather it's a dance of balance between the couples. Genital sex is not just about achieving orgasm. Spirituality. Regardless of one's personal spiritual beliefs, we as humans cannot deny that we are not spiritual beings. This brings us to dimension 11, which is spirituality. One part of people slowing down, recharging, and re-engaging with themselves is meditation, which is a spiritual practice. Beyond meditation, a practical reflection tool is journaling, doing yoga, or having contemplative prayer. Individual spiritual practice is essential to stay grounded, helping to reduce emotional distress and promote self-improvement. This is also can be done with one's partner, and practicing ongoing spiritual discipline together and can enhance the relationship. It's also an opportunity for a person to be able to relinquish control and to turn their life over to their higher power. Dimension 12 is passion. The final dimension of the 12, and probably one of for many, would be overlooked as non-essential to the sexual realm. However, Dr. Carnes, in his writing, touches on the topic of focus and allowing one's focus to drive them. This is what he's discussing here. What is driving us? What helps us to focus in our life? And how are you giving back to the next generation? Are you taking your talents and enhancing your own life as well as someone else's? A fundamental element to maintaining a healthy life is to feel fulfilled. And that cannot be done, or that can be done by volunteering our time, giving to others with our skills, and working on a project that will enhance future generations. Passion is about finding what speaks to us and putting in the work to see that vision be executed. What would you say is continuing to keep you moving forward toward a fulfilled life? I appreciate and hope that each of you listening has taken something away from today and has helped conceptualize some of the ideas around healthy sex. This is something that always takes learning, reflection, and good listening. Thank you so much for being here. Until next time, this is Patrick for the North Point Perspective Podcast.